The Buddha said that to break up in love is to wake up in life. And then Audrey Hepburn said the best thing to hold on to in life is each other. See, because love is what unites. It is the antithesis of what separates. It crosses borders and religions and divisions of any kind. And we have a chance to practice this love with our romantic partners. And so today, that's what I'm going to talk about. You know, I recently did a show with Connor Moore and Danielle on the Realness podcast, and I've been promoting the hell out of that show. And the reason is because as I was listening to it, I realized that that is exactly what I needed to hear when I was in my 20s. And so if you're interested in the idea of a conscious relationship or you're interested in relationship dynamics, I would say definitely head to the Realness podcast and check that out. And then I thought, well, riding off of that momentum, maybe I'd break down some of my thoughts on what a relationship is and why it's important and how it can play a pivotal role in our growth journey. And of course, you know, I don't believe that there's only one way to do anything in this world, and that includes relationships. I think we all have our own nuances and we've all experienced the world in a certain way. So what we need out of our relationships with other humans is going to vary greatly on those individual differences. But again, these are just some of the things that I've noticed, and since I've committed to living them, it's made my experience within the relationship container much more fulfilling than it's ever been before, which is actually a great lead-in for the first part of this, which is the first question you have to ask yourself to build more awareness around the way that you show up in a relationship is to ask yourself, what has been modeled to you? You know, for a large majority of our lives, we carry around things that just aren't ours. You know, the stories we tell ourselves are based off the one our caretakers told us, or maybe the one we implied from them, and we emulate their behavior until we begin to realize that we're doing it, and then mindfully decide to start repatterning the way that we're showing up. And it's also worth noting here that this is a first great question to ask yourself, literally about anything that you want to understand better. Like if you want to understand your relationship better, if you want to figure out why your relationship with money is the way that it is, ask yourself what your first three or four memories around money are. You know, that's how was it modeled to you? What did you take away from those experiences? With love, we should do the same thing so that we can figure out what our internal wiring looks like. Your patterns will create your success or lack of it, which is the next question you should ask yourself. What patterns have emerged from your previous relationship history? Figuring out your backstory is crucial because if you don't get awareness around it, it'll continue, obviously. But one of the realest moments of my entire life was honestly when I looked around after another like 2 or 3 year relationship had ended, and I decided in that moment that the pattern had to end, no matter the discomfort. I just realized there could be no more projecting my unmet needs on people, so I'd have to figure those out for myself. To be good in a relationship, I believe we have to come to the point where we realize that it's no one else's job to drown with us. We pretty easily pass on expectations onto our partner, but if we expect them to save us, our expectations will fall short and they bear down and eventually crush the connection that we have. And that's the problem, is when we rely on anybody for anything, when we rely on our partner for our happiness or whatever it is that we expect from them, the weight of that expectation, it just crushes our connection. And so once we figure out, you know, how we've historically shown up, you have to let it go, right? And so I want to say, like, I'm going to kind of walk through bad breakup all the way to good relationship, because that's the way I've like come to understand it. But really, wherever you are in this process, it doesn't really matter. You actually just want to figure out how you're showing up and then figure out what you need to do to show up differently. So again, that's the timeline. I'm kind of walking through it chronologically the way I understood it. But at the same time, I think no matter where you are, these are important questions to ask yourself. And so the reason we have to let this history go, these patterns go, is because we need space in our lives for someone else to exist. And that's nearly impossible if we're just dragging these old stories along with us. You know, it was tempting to want to get over my heartache by getting in bed with someone else, but I knew that was always step one, right? Like, it's like, what was the pattern there? That's what I always did. And so even though I felt lost and wasn't sure what to do, I knew that what I'd done in the past just wasn't going to cut it. I had to begin changing behavior, no matter how small. And so if you have a pattern that leads to a place you aren't happy with, You have to change it in reality as well as thought if you want a new result. Something that we find difficult in our culture of overthinking and overanalyzing. And so if you're at the point in your sort of life, in your relationship life, in your romantic life, where you are sad or heartbroken, one of the things that you might want to do is figure out how you tend to pacify yourself against that pain and then stop doing it. And that's really what I'm talking about here, because we do these things to center ourselves, to make ourselves feel better. But you know, all these feelings, they actually just have to be felt. And so the more you do that, the kind of like the longer you put off the feeling of actually feeling what it is that you're going through. And once you feel it, then you're in a position to like start letting it go. And so the next thing that I decided, you know, when I was going through this painful heartbreak experience, is that I wouldn't make myself feel safe or centered by lumping in everyone of the opposite sex as just one thing. So I think the urge to make ourselves feel better by being cynical to what we don't understand is always a cop-out in life. And so we have this moment where, you know, when things hurt us, when we feel broken, we tend to close, right? But when you close, when you're vulnerable to pain, is to prolong that pain, just like when you try to escape it. Well, if you close yourself off to it, when you put up walls, you don't just keep people from hurting you, you keep them from knowing you. And humans essentially have two basic needs: to be seen and to be heard. And we shouldn't let what hurts us keep us from what helps us, right? And so that's why, like, all whatever it is that you do, again, this is why I'm talking about, like, what is the pattern that emerged for you? These are the ones that emerged for me, so it's easy for me to talk about. But if you can think about your own, you can change them. So no matter where you are in your relationship journey, whenever you feel pain or betrayal, your natural inclination will be to close yourself off. Now, Steve Prefontaine once said, "Don't let fatigue turn you into a coward." And he was talking about running, but he might as well be talking about most of our love lives once we hit our late 20s. I feel like at that point, at least for me, I was like just feeling a bit fatigued from the whole cycle, right? But that's the thing. That's why we have to change the cycle. So the knowing that I held on to was that if I could just stay open and I could learn to sit in the pain of what didn't work out or what hurt me, eventually that pain would dissipate and the cycle that permeates all of life would lead to my redemption. This is what the Buddhists call samsara, the death and rebirth cycle of everything. And so if you allow your old narratives, your old pain, your old attachments to die, and you let them go, you can stay open and vulnerable through that process, then that's when you create the space for something new to be born. This is more universal law than trendy dating advice. So at least for me, I found it easier to trust in. It's like an understanding that I'm letting these patterns die, that something else will take their place and that thing will be better, even when it hurts, no matter that it hurts. And this is something that's worth mentioning right here. How you talk about your ex-partners says a lot about how you're going through life. And so that's another really good question to ask yourself. See, if everyone was a piece of shit that you dated, you've inadvertently decided to remain in a victim state. And the way that we climb out of a victim state in anything is with gratitude. Who you've attracted in the past was perfect for who you were in the past. We have wounds to heal and needs to meet, and we tend to be attracted to people that fill those roles until we take the time to heal ourselves. Even if an ex-partner did nothing but show you what you don't want for your life, you do have something to be thankful for, right? And the way that you talk, like the way that you own your old narratives, decides whether they disempower you or whether they empower you. It's kind of like you can ask yourself questions that either disempower you or empower you when you're going through hard things. It's like if you start to ask questions that begin with why, like why me, why this, why now, all the whys that happen when we victimize ourselves, it tends to be pretty disempowering because those are unknowable, right? But if you can ask yourself a what question, like what am I going to do with this now that it's happened? Right? You actually begin to empower yourself. So if you ask the right questions, your answer will empower or disempower you. And that's the same thing with your love life. So after we become aware of how we used to show up, we have to decide how we want to show up. A loving relationship is one of our highest callings in life because to be in love is the highest expression of our humanity. It's only us that can take something as divine as love and turn it into a living hell. So as you begin to fall in love, or even if you are already in love, I found that it helps to remind yourself of who you want to be in that space. That way, when the ego gets hurt in an old way, when you feel triggered in an old way, which it will, all these things will happen, right? No matter how much you swear them off, it's easy. They're patterns and they're deep. They've been around for 30 years or however old you are. And so what you'll find is if you shift into autopilot and you stop being mindful about the way that you show up, you'll begin to treat your new love like your old one. But what you actually want to do is you want to embody your highest level of knowledge. And so what does your highest level of knowledge say about how you want to show up in a relationship? This has been crucial for me because typically if I'm exhibiting behavior that I myself don't like, I know pretty quickly if I just ask myself, like, is this the highest version of me? And by embodying that highest version of yourself, you have something capable of pushing back against those old narratives and those old patterns. And that's why it's important. And that's why we call it a conscious relationship, because you're being mindful of your patterns and the way that you're showing up and what you're handing over to your partner. A relationship gives us the opportunity to offer the best of who we are to someone else. At the same time, it calls us to create a space safe enough that our partner can be vulnerable enough to give us the best of who they are. In our defensive postures, that dynamic just becomes impossible. A connection can't exist between walls. In this way, love is an invitation to courage. Courage requires vulnerability 100% of the time. I used to believe that because I had a dangerous job, I was courageous. I felt like because I was down to jump out of an airplane or snowboard off of a cliff, I was courageous. The truth is, those were acts of courage that I was comfortable with. Now, when I think about how badly Danielle could just absolutely stomp my heart, I know that anything I engaged in before was child's play. Because the thing is, opening yourself to harm is the first step toward intimacy. And you can't have it without that fear-evoking sense of vulnerability met with the courage to face it. So I remember as I began to fall in love with Danielle, I noticed just how prevalent this all is. Because the advice I got from almost everyone, except for two people, was be careful. Look, we all have to live with the choices that we make, and we all have to decide if how we are living will satisfy our expectations of ourselves in this one life. But for me, careful just isn't what I'm here for. And this isn't a pass to be dumb or unsafe, but rather, when love is actually giving you the invitation to experience life at its highest level, it's a chance to accept it openly. And fuck yes, you might get hurt. But there isn't a game in this life that doesn't have a downside. Your job is to figure out what downside, i.e. what risk, you're willing to shoulder and for what cause. No one gets out of pain or hurt, and a life of truly showing up is going to break your heart over and over. But every time it does, it is the knowing that I'm creating space for something new that helps me shoulder it. It's that same knowing that helps me show up without fear. Fear is the diametric opposition to love. And the decisions we make are going to ultimately come from either one of those two places, fear or love. The reason love is the highest expression of our humanity is because when it becomes the thing that powers our decisions and thought processes, we retain our freedom. See, because when we're living out of fear, our actions are always restricted by what could go wrong. But we kind of always have this eternal invitation to come from a new place. It's always present. You know, it's not easy, but it's definitely there. When you make decisions out of love, you find this new sense of freedom in your life. And so once you've acknowledged the fear, because you do have to acknowledge it, right? You can't ignore it, can't repress it, can't pretend it doesn't exist, can't escape from it. You actually have to acknowledge it and say, well, I see that fear, but I'm actually going to make this decision from a different place. Appreciate you. And then you shoulder that risk. You see that a relationship creates this refuge, a place where you can find solace from the fear-based world. And when each of you bring your best to that space, you're given an opportunity for improvement. You create a safe place for dialogue and for picking each other up when you fall short. In essence, you create a ladder that allows you to climb higher than you ever could on your own. I found that maintaining that space requires the constant willingness to surrender. To believe in love is to believe in something bigger than yourself. And as such, the things you use to keep you small have no place there. You have to surrender your coping mechanisms and your righteousness and your desire to be vindicated. And when you feel those things creeping back into your life, you have to recommit to the love. And this surrendering to love brings about the part of the relationship that I have the most trouble with, but nonetheless, I feel is massively important. And we talked about this on Connor's show as well. But the reason you surrender your own need to be right is because to be in love truly with someone else is to want the absolute best for them. And this requires the biggest act of courage in the world, and that is to ask yourself if you are truly the best thing for them. You know, I personally vow that if I ever realize that I'm not, that I will let her go. And I don't say that without reservation, right? But I say it because it's the right thing to do. Like in my heart, it truly feels like the right thing to do if I actually care about this person unconditionally. Our needs shouldn't imprison our partner. And I know this radical honesty isn't for everyone, but what I found is that in asking myself this question truly, it actually invites me to be what she deserves. And if we ever can't step up, if we ever ask ourselves that and we can't step up to be what our partner deserves, do we actually deserve them? Look, none of this is easy. It's all work. But if you go into it with your eyes and your heart open, it gives you a chance at something timeless in a pretty time-bound world. It gives you the chance to grow despite the fact that we're all bound for entropy. It gives you the chance to play the hero in your own life. Something that I hope every single one of you gets to experience because, well, duh, because I love you. Have an awesome Friday, and we'll chat Monday on Morning Coffee.